This is the SML Podcast, celebrating 800 episodes.
800 episodes!
That's 800 episodes of game reviews, pancakes, maybe even waffles.
Dude, aren't waffles just, like, cubed pancakes?
Shut the fuck up. Seriously, this is a pancake show. Who the fuck brings up waffles during a pancake show? Nobody's ever heard of a wet waffle. You know who didn't make it to 800 episodes? The Electric Company. That's who. You know who else? TNA Impact Wrestling.
Or Monday Night Football.
We're still going strong, heading straight into 900.
And we're coming for your record. Fred Rogers.
Come hang out with us for another 800 episodes. Game reviews, shenanigans, pancakes.
Waffles!
Pancakes.
Seriously, who the fuck let this guy in here?
On with the show. Play the frickin' music.
SML.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast, and it is episode 800. Woo!
Pew, 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 pew.
And Jacob's not here. Ha ha. Aki, how are you doing?
Hey, kids.
Pretty good. Everything's about normal.
Yeah, everything is normal. Jacob's not here for the start of the show. But since he's not here, we got two people hanging out from the Tuesday crew. We've got Chris and Brooke on hand. How are you two doing?
Hey,
Brock.
Hey, Aki.
Heavy breathing sounds. We don't know which microphone is it coming from.
Is this going to get creepy, Aki?
Is there anything but?
Fair. Fair.
Exactly.
Fair.
There we go.
Creepy Aki sounds like something I would get dared to order at a restaurant.
If they ever make a food after my name.
Creepy Aki platter.
Exactly.
It's on it. Spinach, onions, sauerkraut.
I don't like sauerkraut, so no. Sure.
I went to a food festival a while back, and one of the stalls was called Aki Takoyaki.
Yes.
And it's
all right. Good food at
like
least.
Aki. Yeah, it was cool.
Takoyaki's pretty good.
Yeah, that's why I said it's pretty good.
Well, I know what else is pretty good? The fact that we are celebrating 800 episodes of this awful, awful show. A lot of people are hanging out in chat tonight. Hello to everybody in chat. Yes, it is SML 800, and Carnage Claws is hanging out in chat with everybody else. He is going to be dropping game codes and giveaways all night long.
Oh, thank you, Scotty. I expect to win one.
Yeah, good luck. You're going to be busy doing this.
Unless he's giving away a whole ass Xbox, I won't be able to redeem any of those prizes.
Yeah, I mean, you could redeem them.
I guess I could.
You could redeem them. You just can't play them until you get an Xbox.
They might be cross-buy, so it might be playable on the PC.
Yeah, I mean, like, Chris, all of the Chemco RPGs you get are technically Xbox releases, but they work on Windows 10.
Well, that's good to know for when I get an Xbox.
Yeah.
I can play all of my favorite mobile RPGs I also own on Switch.
Yeah, exactly.
But now you can get Xbox achievements.
Oh boy.
That will take you forever.
So, you want to know a fun fact?
Sure.
There are 730 hours in a month, in a calendar month typically. And so we have now produced, I think, 5 months worth of straight up listening content on the internet.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Well, look who it is.
Look at this motherfucker strolling in at 7 after.
Well,
I mean, my wife did already have a kid by the time that I fucked her, so then we had Silas, so yeah, I am a motherfucker. Oh!
What the hell is this ball into?
He got us into the science. Is that Pernell?
Holy shit, we've got a Purnell too.
Everybody drop the Purnell Fan 420 react in chat.
Yes, Purnell Fan 420. Where is it?
Is that a thing that exists?
It does. Don't make me take a screenshot. I stand corrected. The SML Pern Fan 420 is the official name of my face in chat.
It is a channel emote.
I wonder, how do I sound to y'all? I actually sound tested before I joined, and other party said it. To see you, buddy.
Okay. All right, hold on. I'm going to hop out and hop back in.
Well, okay.
Fuck you too,
and then we never saw Jacob again.
I have no problem. 800 episodes later.
Oh, Jesus. If I'm still doing this at SML 1600, I am...
see him in 800 episodes.
Yeah, I don't want to be here in 800 more episodes.
Well, too fucking bad. You're
yeah, we all need free games.
Episodes. So. Exactly.
You're a meal ticket, Joe. You have to stay alive.
Yeah
that's only 4 more years.
I die.
Purnell, are you on speakerphone?
Yes.
No.
Bullshit.
What are you talking about? Yeah, I'm not. You guys are full of it. I'm not on any speakerphone.
I love how drastically better Purnell's audio quality is when she switches off speakerphone.
No, I wasn't on speakerphone. I was eating a sandwich.
A phone speaker.
a sandwich box. Yeah, that's what I was doing. Getting crunchy with it. But how's everybody doing today?
Yeah, how is everyone doing?
Before you joined, we went over that.
What happened?
The rest of my tacos.
You're gonna have to check out the recording. No, just kidding. I'm doing okay. How are you doing, bud?
I'm having a weird day, but I'm hanging in there. I did that thing that people do where, actually, it's kind of a funny thing just to say on the show in general, I think. So, you ever have a situation with people where you feel like you might have done or said something that might have set them into, like, this guy's an asshole bucket. So, your brain does that thing where it's telling you, oh, those people don't like me very much, or that person don't like me very much because of something. You don't know what it was, but it's something, right? So... I was like, if I'm feeling that way, maybe I should actually just directly ask the person if they have, you know, any sort of like beef with me or anything like that. So I asked them and I got a response. I was like, yeah, no big deal. Nothing like that. You know, just like, you know, COVID stuff resulted in some stuff. And I was like, okay, cool. That's awesome. Thank you for answering my question. And then afterwards, I was like,
I'm waiting for the point.
Welcome to Tuesdays.
I don't know where it came from.
Yeah, Aki, welcome to Tuesday.
If y'all shut up, Purnell will get there in 40 minutes.
Yeah. We'll never know if we don't let him.
First of all, it'll be 5 minutes. And second of all, now I can go to the roundabout. Anyway, the actual point of the story was, once I did that and wrapped it up, now I got this vibe in my head where I'm thinking the person's like, this dude's fucking crazy. He thought that I had a problem with him, so he asked me about it. The fuck? So now I'm
like,
you are
crazy.
Yeah.
So what? Well, not that kind of crazy, though.
Yes, you are. You clearly are. You're telling us a story about how you are specifically that version of crazy.
You know what?
That was what this whole story was about.
You know something? I think you're on to something.
I know I am. I'm smart.
Hey, don't go giving yourself that much credit, Aki.
Agreed. Don't go crazy here.
You're still on this show, so don't quote yourself on being too smart.
Yeah.
Jacob has a point.
This is very smart for me because this is more human interaction than I would otherwise get in a year. So, very smart. Just
meanwhile,
maybe
very
not
dumb
the best
for us
quality.
Because now we have to talk to you.
Exactly. Y'all are the dumb ones, not me.
Well, here's a question for Alia. How does it feel still doing this after, I mean, Brooke, you've only been doing this for a few months. Jacob, you've technically been around since like episode 4, but you've only been like serious co-host with Aki for what, like a year now, something like that?
I don't fucking know.
Has it been?
Purnell and Chris, you guys have been reviewing for ages now. Like, how does it feel still doing this and still like churning out content literally every week for years now.
Drop it!
Switch it up. We pretty much just confirmed that I'm crazy, so, I mean, that kind of covers that, I think. I mean, I just do it. It gives me, honestly, it's not so bad. It keeps me apprised of not new so stuff. Talk. Well, that's just my, that's just the way I am when I, that's my speech, that's the way I talk. So, but the point is,
well, I feel like badness was implied in the question though.
Agreed.
Not so bad. A perfectly natural response to that style of question.
Yeah, that could be our new catchphrase, SML. It's not so bad.
I think Chris is my guy. See, he gets it.
It
helps to keep abreast of new games and stuff, or having to go out and shell out $60 a freaking week. And due to the fact that I also do the other show, you'd be surprised how many times I'll play a game on this show, go, wow, the music in this game is fantastic. Now I've got some fun.
Drop it, bitch!
It happens a lot. The best part about it is that a lot of the games that we get on this show, it's going to sound harsh, but it's the truth. If I had to work off of a budget to get them and I didn't know anything about them beforehand, I would have possibly passed them by. I'm like, no, I can't afford that fucking game. Yeah. I'm not buying it. But then I get to play it and I go, whoa, this game is really good. Better than I was expecting. It is worth money. And if I had to go back, I would have bought it. And I think a lot of people are that way with a lot of like indie games. They just kind of see it on the marketplace that's already flooded with other games.
Yeah.
And it just kind of passes them by.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm the newbie to the show, and I can say I've tried a shitload of games already that I wouldn't have otherwise tried that I ended up giving a glowing review for. And a few of them are like in my top five for like respective genre that they're slotted into. It's just so crazy. Like, I joined last October. We've come such a long way. Last October, we're at 8%. For in our Twitch chat here, new office chair for my fat ass. Now we're 17.32. And that's crazy.
A big help is because Bree, Lloyd, and Raider Biz all just dropped some biddies in chat. You probably heard Nork going crazy. And then Carnage subbed as well.
So that's our Nork.
Thank you guys.
So thank you so much to everyone. Another 100 biddies from Lady Magritte right there. Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. You actually brought a lot of positivity to this show. So it's actually appreciated that you're hanging out with us doing stuff. So
I bring just the positivity? Really?
No, Brooke.
Dude, oh. Brooke.
I was going to say.
I like something. I really like it. And you guys have been jiving with my hypeness, and I really appreciate that. Joe and I had a heart-to-heart a couple weeks ago. We were both crying our eyes out. Well, I don't know about Joe, but I was. Like, this is so good. I was like, thanks, dude. I'm really comfortable on the show. And Joe was like, you're a great bit, blah, blah, blah. And I just started
bawling.
You balance out the sausage fest that is otherwise Tuesday nights.
It's a pleasure. Looking forward to being a part for a really long time.
One thing you'll find interesting come the end of this year, when it comes time to start doing like your typical, like, hey, what are my favorite games this year? You're going to discover that your favorite game list is going to be very different from how it probably was in previous years, because all of a sudden you won't be just talking about, well, here are all the big games everyone else was playing. Your list is going to be a bunch of indie games that when you give it to people, what the fuck are you talking about? What game is that? You're like, hype. A game you clearly need to be playing because it's on my top 10 of the year.
Yeah, there's so many games. Like what you said earlier about just the market being saturated. Like even if I think an indie game's cool, like I may not make time for it unless I'm on that schedule where I'm like, oh, I told Joe, you know, I'd have this by next Tuesday. Or it kind of gives my life a little bit of rhythm too. Like almost every week I'm trying new games, whether or not I feel like being a lazy stick in the mud and not doing that. And that's it's honestly, we're laughing, but it's good for my mental health. I think a lot of people fall into that, especially the people who have been gaming since they're like 5 and 6 years old, like a lot of us on the show. Like, as we get older, you know, I talked last year about spending a lot of Saturdays in the Steam shop, 11 a.m. I'm like, what game am I going to play? And then like 8, 9 p.m., I'm still like browsing. And I may have had a passing game, but like I never pulled the trigger a lot of the time, especially as I get into the 30s. And I think a lot of people have that experience. And it's Sunday night, and you're like, I didn't pick a new game. My life's over. I'm going to start a new week.
Well, you found a game this week that you were excited about, and
I'm so excited! I started playing it on my lunch break.
What game is that? Would you like to tell us what game you're excited about right now?
It's Hooked on You. It's the Dead by Daylight dating simulator. I've never played Dead by Daylight.
Hooked on Phonics.
So last time, Hooked on Phonics, one of my first games, made me the woman I am today. No, I didn't play it. I could have used it, though. You got to buy Hooked on Phonics back in the day. But yeah, I'm pumped about this game. I heard about it yesterday and I saw it had just come out and I was like, I wonder if Joe can get it for me. And I've asked for games that are like going to come out next year, but I haven't actually asked for any games yet. This is my first game I asked Joe for that's already out. And he got it for me today. I immediately put the code in. I'm so pumped. I'm going to share some screenshots in the Twitch chat, but I tweeted about it earlier too. I'm really excited.
Yeah,
that one looks pretty ridiculous.
It's getting great reviews too. It's supposed to be pretty inclusive. And
Now you said the Dead by Daylight dating simulator, as in like the makers of Dead by Daylight, or actually uses characters from Dead by Daylight, or
I actually don't want to hear too much about it because I want to do Joe got two codes, and I really want somebody who's played Dead by Daylight to do the other review, and then I come in and I've just sort of dated the characters without knowing anything about them or having any preconceptions, but they are horrifying. It is the monsters from the game.
Fucking yeah!
And the guy,
it's not all of the monsters. It's a few of the monsters from.
That's cool. It's at least four. Hold on, I'm gonna get y'all some.
I think it is four. Yeah.
Just to make sure I understand, because it's been a while. Dead by Daylight had original monsters before it had all like the movie tie-in monsters and stuff, right?
Yeah, they still put original ones out too. Big thanks to Lloyd and Horror Acolyte, who both just dropped Prime subs or subs. Lloyd just subbed normally for the eighth month. Wow.
Boy, so are you telling me the secret to get Horror Acolyte to sub is to talk more about horror games and Dead by Daylight?
I guess so.
That would work.
Don't forget that we also got to level 2 hype.
Yeah, we're on the level 2 hype train. I never see hype trains in this channel, so that is weird.
Yeah, I've never seen it here.
Thank you.
Yeah, I got like
it means that people are like dropping bits and subs and. It encourages like, gives people emotes and stuff. It's a Twitch thing.
Ah, boogie.
I was gonna say, yeah, not to diminish the niceness of like, you know, getting games that were offered, but it is really, really cool in this show to, you know, actually want a game and then get it to review.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try to help out when I can. So
you've done a lot of good for me. You've done a lot. Thank you.
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
I've reviewed a fuck ton of games that I want.
Drop it! Some more bits. Lloyd with another 111. Thank you so much, Lloyd. Oh, the fat ass chair is up to 18.02%. So Brooke's been 10% since you've been here.
That's nuts.
I think she's the reason why people enjoy her.
Probably.
Because I think you'd had that up. That chair for over
drop
a year
it
we love Brooke so much we're gonna give Joe money for a chair.
Hey, if it works pretty it much. Works
Lady Magritte with that's another 100, and then Latino Heat just won Train Valley console edition for Xbox.
My gosh, one of the best names I've ever heard. That is an amazing name.
So congrats BX Latino Heat for winning the game. There will be more giveaways all night. If you are not here live and you're listening to this via MP3 or on YouTube, you're missing out on all the fun. A lot of people in chat, a lot of people having fun. We're having fun. What games are you having fun with these days, people, that aren't show related? What are you playing?
I have a question for everybody.
Oh, there you go.
Uh-oh.
How many of you would actually be playing indie games if it weren't for the show?
Oh, no, I totally would be.
I would be, too.
I just wouldn't be playing a lot of the ones I get for the show. Because, again, it's like you figure you got so much time in the week and so much money you can spend.
No.
So if you're looking at what's available, you're like, okay, I want to get this one that's been getting a lot of buzz in the news and whatnot. It stands out to me. I'm going to just pay the money and get it. And then you'll just dive and put all of your time into it, which means you won't even feel compelled to buy two other games. You got the one. So, but through the show, it's like, here, you got three. It's like, well, I have to play the three because I have to review them next week. And that's when you get into me like, wow, I'm glad I played these. This is a good fucking game.
I think I've gotten more into indie games because of the show. And I find myself buying more games because of the show. Like based on reviews, that you guys
more?
Do. Yes.
Yeah. Wasn't that the?
I thought you just bought everything.
Doing. I thought we were supposed to be buying less games because of the show.
Well, I don't. I haven't.
You're the ones who
like
do the reviews.
Yeah, we're very persuasive.
Yeah, y'all get the games.
I just assumed you bought all the games anyways because you're you and a hoarder.
Close. Close.
And does Aki hate all of us? I thought it was just me.
Well, no, Junkway is a hoarder. Straight up, he hoards video games.
I think I found that the Xbox wish list caps out at 200.
I found
You found a max.
Yeah, for the wish list.
I found the maximum of the Switch eShop wish list.
What's
the max on there?
It's like 400 something. I forgot. I said it in an earlier episode.
That just sounds like you guys have found my Steam wish list.
Yeah, see, my Steam wish list is like 3.
My Steam has probably around 500-600 on it.
Like, yeah, my Switch is basically everybody else's, like, Steam, like, with the amount of games I have on it and the amount of games I want on it and the amount of space I don't have for any of it.
I'm going to look up how many items are on my Steam.
I had to delete, I had to archive about, I think, 3 or 4 more games because I ran out of space again because I was wanting to get the Mario Kart 8 update with the new tracks.
Oh, I forgot those came out.
Oh, is that not in the news? I was going to wait till then.
461.
Let me check.
It's in the news. It's in the news because I got an email about it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I was going to say because that's what I'm playing right now. I've been playing the new tracks lately.
Nice.
I'm so behind on those game tracks, but I still have the DLC. But the problem is I'll be in a situation where people are actually playing Mario Kart and we're not playing my copy. So all my DLC's not on the table.
Yeah, I keep grinding for coins because I'm looking for vehicles that I actually like. Like, I have my best character, but I still haven't, like, because I haven't seen his vehicle from the DS game. So I'm having to try and find a comparable thing that works the way I want it to work.
Getting close. I'm happy that I scanned all my Amiibo and Mario Kart for the costumes before I sold them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All the Mii costumes.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, I just crossed 2,000 coins.
Yay!
So so we know that Chris is playing Mario Kart.
Yeah, and I've been doing the streamy stuff too. I actually beat 2 Game Boy Color games on Wednesday's stream.
Which ones?
NSYNC, Get to the Show, and
why?
VIP, based on the show starring Pamela Anderson.
Again, why?
That game sold for a lot of money back. I mean, not a lot of money, but a lot of people were buying it back in the day.
What was?
Believe it or not, a lot of people were buying that NSYNC Get to the Show game back in the day on the Game Boy Color. Yeah, I used to work at KB Toys, and that game moved.
A friend gifted it to me back in 2005, and I just sat there on the couch and just beat it right there. And then eventually I lost that copy, and I got another, like, a fully boxed copy for like $2.99. I was going to give it to another friend, and then I just ended up kind of keeping it. I might still give it to that friend, but I don't know.
That's pretty freaking cool. Like, in my case, what do you? So you're playing Mario Kart Get to the Show.
Yeah.
Which is 2 separate games.
Well, I'm not playing it now because I beat it, but I was playing it this week.
So
it goes for $12 up on eBay.
$12.
Ooh.
With free shipping.
Well, I mean, there's no reason that game should sell for a lot of money. I mean, they mass-produced the shit out of it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of games that were mass-produced that are worth a lot of money. Look at Final Fantasy VII. That sold so many copies.
Is that still... That, does it sell for a lot of money? If it does...
Not as much nowadays.
The non-black label?
Not as much nowadays. Like, I think it's like around the 70 or 80 mark, like all the PlayStation RPGs are now. But, like, there was a time when it was going for like 150 to 250 bucks, depending on condition.
And there's a misprint copy that you can get with like a typo on the back.
That's the version I have, but it's not worth anything more. It's like just at this point, it's just like trivia.
Like, who wants to get a copy?
Jacob, what are you playing? Like, that's not show related. What are you fucking around with?
Mostly Fall Guys nowadays. I play the shit out of that. I still play Hot Wheels Unleashed. I don't know if you count that as show related.
It is, because I bought it because of you on the show, so it counts.
Because last night, new DLC dropped. The George Jetson car.
In honor of his birthday.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I wonder if this was planned. Because there is another Hanna-Barbera car in there. And of course, I'm forgetting because there's like 200... on freaking cars.
Is it from like Wacky Races or?
What do you mean, the George Jetson car?
No. The other Hanna-Barbera, because there's a whole Hanna-Barbera cartoon about racing.
It's the mystery machine from Scooby-Doo.
I mean, fair, so, but
honestly, I'm wondering if they're gonna do the Fred Flintstone car next. I really hope they do. Nice.
I hope you get to control it with your feet.
They did another McLaren. There is an old Packard, and I feel like I'm leaving out one other car. I don't know. Anyways, I was expecting that Jetson's car to fucking suck, because most tiny cars in the game do, but that thing whips around the corners like no other. I was plenty impressed with it. But yeah, that, and I still play Super Mega Baseball 2 and record every single time I hit a pitcher.
It is good when you hit pitchers in that game.
Oh, I love games, especially like when I hit like two pitchers in one game, and then like I'll follow the other team's stats for the rest of the season and like notice like the time I played them was like the moment like they just like their record just amazingly sucked for the rest of the season.
I wonder if the that upcoming Little League game is going to have hitting the pitcher. How fun would that be?
I'm not going to lie. Like, I mean, do you ever meet a teenager that didn't deserve to get hit by a baseball?
True.
Once.
So, Purnell, you mentioned that you bought Hot Wheels because of Jacob's review. Did anyone else buy a game specifically because of a review on this show?
Yes.
I feel like I have a couple of times, but I don't know which
like,
one.
I don't mean like a $5 Rattleika. I mean like a legitimate big game.
I've never bought a Rattleika game, actually.
Quest Builders 2, I bought Rattleika because of this show. Games illegitimate.
No, I'm pretty sure I bought Dragon Quest Builders 2 because of the show, and then also bought it during the show.
The game's so fucking good.
Yes.
That's a great game.
It's addictive.
I actually made a list one time when I was talking to Joe about, like, here's all the games I've bought since, like, because of this show. Sorry, that was going somewhere.
Are you high?
No, I'm not high. I wish I was.
He's high on life and the Lord.
Not enough. But at the same time, I'm high what he's having.
High on Jesus.
Jesus.
I'm looking through my game list right now to see if there's anything I bought. Because I know there is, but I can't remember what.
I think all the games I bought because of a review on, I was going to buy anyways. And Cole just got it instead of me to review.
I guess Astria Ascendant might count. I mean, I reviewed it, but then I bought it because I liked my review of it.
I reviewed that one.
I almost bought a pretty pricey game because I was really floored by, I think a couple people reviewed it for the show, and I can't remember the game title, but it's funny because I'd actually turned it down from Joe, and then I like really wanted it. And then it was pricier. It was like not a racing game quite, but like I think you could actually fight with the cars. You guys know what I'm talking about. I'm putting this in really bad terms.
It sounds like
fight with the cars.
It reminded y'all of like a retro game that was kind of like a violent racing game. It's the way I would describe it. This is like a couple months ago. My memory is a little hazy because unlike Jacob, I am really high right
now. Was it Wreckfest?
I think so. I think it was Wreckfest. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Let me look this up.
Oh, that sounded so good. Shit.
While the reviews were wrapping up, I was like, "Oh my god, I made a mistake. I should have gotten this game." I told Joe, "I was like, I like racing games," and then like by the end of the review, I was like, "I want this so bad."
This game that we're talking about, it wasn't a cartoony racing game. It was like a very, it looked realistic, but it involved primarily wrecking the other cars during the race or in special events where you were
specifically in the Twitch chat right now because I had to look it up to be 100% sure. It looks awesome. I shouldn't have written it off as like yet another game I could have if I just would replace my Xbox. Oh my god.
Carnage saying getting an Xbox Series X.
Seeing that. I need to pull the trig.
I mean, get it all access. That's pretty much what got me to do it. Otherwise I wasn't gonna get a Series X, but that all access just made sense.
Xbox next. I'm gonna catch them all.
The All Access program is really solid. I did it for a Series S, and you end up paying either just the same or actually less if you get a Series X compared to buying a console and the 2 full years of Game Pass.
And it just flies well.
And it's just a monthly payment with zero interest. You just make monthly payments. That's it.
And it's a small one, too. Like, it's a negligible amount of money. It's
35 bucks a month for Xbox Series X. Because that's how I'm paying for mine.
Cool.
So, you know what's funny?
Clown's dying.
It's not that she reviewed it, but I did buy Don't Starve because of how much Brooke talks about it on this show.
Oh, my God. I have over 500 hours on, like, one account that I own that game on. Like, it's
Jesus.
It's not just a game. It's a way of life. Don't Starve.
Exactly.
It's so fun. That game really made me fall in love with, like, survival games. The right ones, you know.
That game really made me fall in love with not starving.
I do love to eat and not starve. It's one of my hobbies.
I'm really trying to look through this list and spot something, but it's like Chris said, like, it's hard to remember, but so many times where it happened, because there's a lot.
Because I mean, there are games that I wanted to buy, but then Purnell got them to review, and I ended up buying them after the review. I confirmed that they were good by listening to his review. So, like, you know, The Longest 5 Minutes and Moero Chronicle H.
Yes.
Two of them. And I bought Panzer Paladin despite Purnell's review.
hey. Wait, I reviewed Panzer Paladin for the show?
I thought you did.
I don't think I have the game, but I think I bought that one.
Really?
Yeah. It's funny you said despite my review, though, because I did have some words about it. Not that it's a bad game, mind you, just that it wasn't what I was hoping it would be.
That feels like that was your review. Okay, now I got to find this out. We're going to find out if Purnell reviewed a game or not.
He's got to hit the Googles. Like, Purnell
is... I might be completely wrong. So, let me just see.
Jordale and Panzer Paladin. Are they like eggs and bacon, or do they not go together like eggs and bacon?
Well, while you're looking that up, we could start into news. We mentioned Game Pass. That's a good segue into some Game Pass news.
Nice.
Everyone interested in chatting news now?
No.
Sure.
As
long as I get to continue the hit on Brooklyn.
Oh, my God.
Good Lord. We have priorities. And that one is mine, okay? Leave me alone.
Jeez. I've never knew such a thirsty person. And I'm drinking a Coke.
I am the thirstiest bitch on the planet, I swear. And I am fine with that, all right? Fuck you.
Oh, glug, 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 glug. It's all good.
He accepts Aki. I accept Aki as well.
Oh, yeah, we all have our vices. Mine's just really attractive women, okay? It's, you know, some people it's alcohol, others it's foods. Mine's just really attractive women and gunplay.
But food for me as well.
Yeah, food's pretty nice.
Rock band songs for me.
Definitely. Oh, Rally Fries.
Rock band, like, in the next month or two is going to hit 3,000 songs.
And you're going to have them.
No, he's missing like two or three.
I still can't fathom how you keep up. Somebody's do the math.
They only put out two a week.
Do you ever get any on sale, or do you just buy them? Oh, so you do get them, like, just flat.
Well, they release season passes now where you get, like, 20 songs, which is normally 40 bucks for, like, 28.
Yeah, but it makes me sad, though, is that
how many of those 3,000 songs have you played?
Most.
Oh, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. If you buy two songs a week, it's just one boot up, play the two songs one time, and that's it.
And they have their weekly rival. What, Jacob?
I just realized something. Like, I know I have a list of all the freaking game, or up to a point of, like, all the games I bought because of reviews from this thing. And I'm, like, scrolling through the Twitter, like, or Twitter feed, because I'm like, I'm sure I posted it there. And then I realized, no, I think it was actually a Facebook post, like, a while ago. And I'm like, ah, fucking Christ. Now I have to, like, search over here.
You can, I mean, they have a search function.
Yeah, but it's Facebook.
Do
so
they
it's terrible.
Now, Purnell? Do they? Oh my God!
I taught Jacob. What would I do without today? You? I don't know, but you'll never have to worry about it because you're stuck with me, bitch.
Yay!
Oh, mercy.
So anyway, Game Pass. New games coming to Game Pass came out this week. We got Ghost Recon Wildlands, Shenzhen IO for the PC, and then Turbo Golf
that game
Racing.
Is great.
Which one? Shenzhen
IO is great.
What is
so
it?
So a friend of mine bought me that. So it's hard to explain this. It's like you're a guy who's starting a job at a company that does programming, and you're tasked with a bunch of like quote unquote programming jobs for your job. And the game actually has a manual that you can print out and use the manual with the game. It's a bunch of logic puzzles. I can't convey it properly. It's a freaking
great
game.
Sounds like it's work.
It's fun work. It's like lawn mowing simulator versus mowing your actual lawn.
Or power wash simulator.
Well, I don't know, power wash simulator. Ha,
exactly. I like power, like power washing. That's not work for me. That's
just power wash simulator is so fun, and it is also on Game Pass.
I actually really
Chris,
want to
I found
play
your
it.
List.
Huh?
Video games do a really good job of masking
Chris,
work.
I found your
it's
list
fun.
From 2017.
Wow.
Oh my god.
Binaries, Double Dragon 4, Neon Chrome, Aero Fighters 2, Elliot Quest, The Count Lucanor, Robo Army, Neo Geo Port, Splasher, Ill Do 2 Plus, Chess Ultra, King Oddball, Aces of the Luftwaffe, Ginger, Portal Knights, Stick It to the Man, Letter Quest Remastered, I Am Setsuna, Gunberg, Yodani, Tennis in the Face, Ukulele, Bleed, One More Dungeon, Volstock Incorporated, Blossom Tales, Mom Hid My Game, Mutant Muds Collection, and Antiqua Wait. Lost.
You reviewed Blossom Tales too, Chris?
What?
You reviewed Blossom Tales too?
Yes, I did. Well, I reviewed Blossom Tales. Blossom Tales 2 isn't out yet.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that shit, because Blossom Ooh. Tales is I crack. Found my list.
Wait, I just want to say, Oddball takes me back. Just hearing the name Oddball.
King Oddball. I love that game.
All right.
I thought you were talking about Oddjob for a second.
This is a list of mine from 2 years ago, and it was this is just games from the past year at that time that I had bought because of the show. 1979 Revolution, Black Friday, The Adventures of Elena Temple, The Assembly, Atomine, Bear With Me, Blackwood Crossing, The Bradwell Conspiracy, The Bunker, Cars 3, Driven to Win, Chroma Squad, The Council, Double Cross, Dreamfall Chapters, Elia, Episode 1, Graveyard Keeper, I Am Bread, Inner Space, Jotun, Kona,
I Am
Marion
Bread.
Tavern Story, Metagal, Metropolis Lux Obscura, Miles and Kilo, Inverlore Verse Stand, One Eye Cuth, One Night Stand, Override Mech City Brawl, Avio, I don't fucking know.
I was about to ask if
Race
I was on
the Sun,
show
Rememoried, Riddled Corpses EX, Scheming Through the Zombie Apocalypse, Seasons After Fall, Submarine and Folk. Oh, right, no, that's a publisher.
Soul Axiom. I was on the show by this point. Like, what year
State
is this?
Of Anarchy. This is 2020.
Oh, okay.
The Station, Tennis in the Face, so I wasn't the only one who bought that one. The Town of Light, Tid Wag Veer Nemad, Tyler Model 5, Virginia, Wailing Heights, Without Escape, and Ukulele.
So, Oma, I recognize a whole bunch of those as ones that either me or Cole did.
I feel like I reviewed Ukulele, but I don't remember it being in
and
2020.
I remember a bunch of them because
it came out in 2019.
I wanted them.
Oh, okay, so I reviewed it in 2019, and that was part of your collective of checking for games you did. Okay.
Yeah, and that was just games from, like, January 20th, 2020, like, and a full year back.
It was so unnecessary to read that entire list.
You know what?
It was adequate. It was appropriate for the 800th episode, though. You got to give it that.
Yeah, totally read off 800 games for the 800th episode.
Listen, God this is how I right. discovered I Am Bread, which I immediately Googled. You may have heard me be like, I Am Bread, that sounds good. And now I'm looking at that, so I learned something.
I Am Bread is very interesting.
See, it's
it
a
is,
7
it is
and
quite
are
unique.
We all, but are we all bread?
Unique. Oh my God, it's multiplayer?
That's what I mean. Aren't we all bread, technically?
We are bread.
Breads can be friends.
No, we are grains. We are not bread.
Okay. All right. Well,
so yeah, news. Great. Remember when I was talking about news?
Yeah.
This is news to me. Okay, I'm going to Google the news. Hold on, I got this.
Turbo Golf Racing is also available on Game Pass right now as
a good game.
Day one game preview launch onto Game Pass.
Oh, wait, I'm thinking about the golf game for Turbo Graphics. This is a different game, Turbo Golf.
Yeah, Turbo Golf Racing.
That looks fun, but I don't know. I feel like that's going to eat into my Fall Guys time.
Probably.
It's called Turbo Golf Racing.
Yes.
So you're racing and playing golf.
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I'm thinking it's kind of like Rocket League meets golf. That's my guess. I haven't played it yet. Carnage is all about like it, though.
Or maybe it's like that, was it Mario Golf, the last one they came out with, Super Rush, did a whole, like, racing to the cup mode. I'm not sure how well it did, but it's maybe something like that.
I still haven't played that game. I've heard so much meh about the new Mario Golf, because, I don't know.
I hope it's not too meh, because it's on the shelf unplayed.
Well, that shows how meh it probably is, because it's unplayed.
No, you know why it's unplayed. Come on. It has nothing to do with the game being meh. Let's have that time. All right, I jump ship so fast.
Some things I'm going to be playing next week. Game Pass, August 9th, Two Point Campus is launching the Game Pass.
I've heard a lot about Two Point Hospital, which is the predecessor to that game.
Yep.
Heard a lot of good things. Has anybody on the show been able to play Two Point Hospital?
I have.
Nope.
I haven't even heard of it, actually.
Cole loved that game.
Did she?
Yeah, she talked about it a lot.
So that sounds like a good praise for the upcoming sequel, then, if she dug the first game. Well, it's not a sequel, but, you know, I mean, follow-up.
It's a sequel. It's fine. No. It's a sequel.
Anyway, August 11th, we're getting, PC is getting Offworld Trading Company and Expeditions Rome, and then everything is getting Cooking Simulator.
That's what I'm talking about.
So the Sims keep a-coming.
You know, I'd be more interested if it was Eating Simulator and they were just giving me food.
Isn't it just like I just said? We were talking about games that are, they make a job feel like fun because it's a game now. Yeah, Cooking Simulator. I don't have time to cook a dinner. I got to go play Cooking Simulator.
that's an accurate description.
That hurts my
yeah.
That hurts my soul. I love cooking. That hurts my soul.
Have you ever just played Stardew Valley or Animal Crossing all day, got all your chores done, and you have, like, your house is just in squalor. There's, like, piles of undone laundry next to you, unwashed dishes.
Brooke, are you drifting away from the microphone?
I don't know. How do I sound now?
You sound really far away.
Weird. Maybe my
volume got up.
Thank you, Aki.
Oh, there you go.
She yelled for that one. How do I sound now?
Now you're good.
Much better.
Super weird. All right. Well, thanks for the heads up.
Wow, okay, I was way off. I was able to finally confirm through not searching the show on YouTube, because apparently not all the games are listed on the show in the descriptions, but I found on Twitter that Tim reviewed Panzer Paladin.
And honestly,
did so
maybe that's why I bought it.
Around late June of last year.
Maybe that's why I purchased it after he reviewed it then.
Yeah, well, his review wasn't...
Is it not listed in the
glowing
YouTube description?
Apparently not. Let me,
Well, didn't you
now
start
that I know
doing
which episode, I can go back and look.
Because I've...
Well, didn't you only start doing the descriptions later?
I always did descriptions, and I always, or at least I always tried, to include the title and a link to every game that we've discussed on the show.
Yeah, but at the same time, it may be giving Chris issues with searching because he's searching for Panzer.
Maybe.
Like, there may be, like, some stuff in place about, like, you know.
Oh, that word.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I could see that.
I don't know. But, yeah, I always try to include the name, like, the developer, the publisher, all that stuff. I try to include everything. And now we have timestamps because...
I'm Sam.
Because I requested
that was the
him.
Best thing you could do.
Yeah, everyone wanted timestamps.
Time
stamps, so
I didn't want timestamps.
Shut up! No one asked
you. What you
fucking ass.
I know no one
shut
asked
the
me.
Fuck up. Games leaving Game Pass August 15th. We've got five games departing the service with Boyfriend Dungeon, Curse of the Dead Gods, ooh, Library of Ruina, Starmancer on PC, and Train Sim World 2. All leaving Game Pass August 15th. So either play them or pick them up with a discount before they're gone.
Everyone go play Boyfriend Dungeon. It is fantastic.
I received that for my birthday last year because in their defense, it sounds like something I would like. And I haven't tried it yet. I forgot about it until just now.
Well, it's on Game Pass.
Dungeon for your boyfriend?
For my birthday.
I got it for review and it. I love it.
That's cool.
And the irony being is I went for the... it's called Boyfriend Dungeon. I went for the girl.
Shocking.
Nice.
Shocking.
How did anyone not see that coming?
When it comes to this Dead by Daylight dating simulator, I'm really liking this lady, the Huntress. She's like fucking ripped. She's looking good.
Is that the big beefy?
Yes. She's yes. So cool.
I like both the girls in it. They're both hot for very good reasons.
Yeah, they both
reasons.
Look great. All four of the characters look great.
Aren't they serial killers?
Yes.
You know, I don't know. I'm going into a clean slate. You know, if you are a killer or a monster from Dead by Daylight, you get a clean slate with me. I'm going to meet you. I'm going to give you a fair chance. I'm going to date you.
Check them for bladed objects before you close the door.
Some of them have the money.
She whatever likes Aki psychopaths.
She's right. Yeah.
She likes psychopathic murder. That's what gets her engines revving.
This is what's great about dating games in general. We get to explore these things without actually being murdered, which, you know.
See? Told you.
It helps. It really helps.
You are murdered. You can reset the game.
See?
Try again.
Oh,
I like that.
Yeah, because I've played games that she suggested to me, so I know what her tastes are at this point.
I have really good taste, everybody. This is the takeaway.
This game, you we'll go the with that, sure. Inside.
So anyway, more news. Sony is discontinuing the Accolades feature on the PS5, a feature so pointless I didn't know what it was.
I don't think I've never heard of it until they said they were canceled, but I
exactly.
discovered that it was supposed to be multiplayer related, which is probably why.
I still don't really get what it is. So it will
basically,
not be missed.
You give people,
you were able to show people your achievements in a game and they could be like, oh, that's really cool. That's it.
No, I think
it was like something feature where people didn't even know.
Where,
I thought it was something where, like, say, for example, I played with Joe and then after the game was a record, like, Joe is a really... He's a very good player at this game, or just some kind of random thing I want to refer to him by as an accolade, quote unquote. I could give him a stamp so that if you look him up in like future games, it's like, okay, he got this accolade from this friend Purnell saying that he's really good at this game or something like that.
I don't know.
Uh-oh.
Maybe. I don't know.
Again, but feature so pointless, no one cares about it.
The irony was that even in the comments for that, almost everyone didn't know what it was. It was fantastic.
Well, maybe they'll replace it with something better. I don't know. I'm still waiting for Xbox to bring Snap back. So, the Switch has sold over 111 million units to date so far.
Oh,
shocking! Because there's no games on it.
I know.
Unless you go to the eShop, then you're flooded with shovelware that's on sale for 14 cents.
Every time someone tells me there's no games on the Switch, I want to fucking roll my eyes out of the back of my head.
They say the same thing about Xbox. Xbox has no games.
And then they turn around and bitch very loudly anytime Xbox buys a company that has games. Like, it's going to be a monopoly, but they don't have games. You said it yourself. Got it.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
What?
Sorry. I was looking up something on True Achievements, and like I was going through my game collection, and it turns out my kids have played 105 hours of Lego The Incredibles. What in the hell?
They love Mr. Incredible.
Yeah, but also like there's not 105 hours worth of content in that game.
Okay, how much of that is sitting at like a title screen?
I don't know. I doubt it. I really do. Knowing them. And then again, I've also played apparently 207 hours of Hot Wheels Unleashed, so...
Leading the way.
I'm well, so glad Jesus. That you're here to constantly just, like, throw things off course, Jacob. You're awesome.
Well, I mean, if I don't do it, Purnell will. And which one of us is short true. Tangents?
Coke Media is rebranding as PlayOn. Has anyone heard that news?
I do.
No.
I don't know who
Does
said
it
what.
Really I said no, and I don't think it really matters.
Well, Coke Media was bought by Embracer, so they're part of Embracer Group, and they're going to rebrand as PlayOn, PLAION, all caps, to better focus on what they are with games and whatnot.
So, all cap.
We'll see how that goes. Tactics Ogre Reborn was officially announced. It will be releasing November 11th on PS4, PS5, Switch, and Steam. Xbox gets shafted once again. Thank you, Square Enix.
I can buy it for the fourth time and not complete it.
You know, what really confuses me is Sony offered to buy them and they said no, but they're pretty much making games.
Well, it's on Switch and Steam as well. So it's literally just not Xbox.
It's probably still just that whole thing where they say, like, certain, like, a lot of Japanese companies just have a thing about the company, a system being run by an American company. I don't know. That's the vibe I always got.
I don't get it because they won't release Tactics Ogre, which is a well-known, well-regarded cult classic of a game, but they will release the Dio Field Chronicle, which is an unknown. That
yeah, I don't even know what that is Xbox. After you've said it.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that game is, so...
Is it
an RPG?
Yeah. Strategy RPG coming from Square Enix. Coming this year, but they won't release Tactics Ogre. I think it's stupid. I hate multi-plats that just skip one platform. What is the point? Why are you, like...
to shaft the American company.
Speaking of getting shafted, Tencent is allegedly planning to raise their stake in Ubisoft.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's going to go over like a thing of fucking bricks. Yeah. Ubisoft does not like when companies do that.
Yeah, and Tencent is not the best company in the world, but what are you going to do? The last bit of news I have is that Xbox insiders in Colombia and Ireland can preview a Game Pass family plan for up to four people. From what I've seen, it runs €21.99 a month, which is about $25. So if you're looking to get a family plan, that might be coming.
Very nice. Family first.
Now, if only I had a family.
All I'm thinking of is cute Irish girls, so.
God. Agreed.
Aki,
agreed.
What news do you have? I know you have some news to talk about, Aki.
Yeah, there was an update to a Lumberjack Simulator recently.
Yay!
It added the greatness that is all the things I like. I was asking for a bigger... wood chipper. I got a bigger wood chipper. I was asking for a larger trailer. I got a larger trailer. Doing pretty good now.
So enough about your sex toys. Tell us about Lumberjack Simulator.
So they added a medium-sized trailer, which the standard trailer holds like 1,000 wood chips, I think is what it is. And then the new medium-sized one carries 2,000. They added a medium-sized wood chipper, which cuts like 600 pounds a minute of trees into wood chips, which is awesome. Yeah, it's a lot. And you can now drop much larger chunks of trees in it, and it'll suck them up because it's much wider, which was always a problem with the standard one. It was, you cut up a tree and then it was very hard to get it to actually eat every fucking thing constantly. So you'd have to jump into it and fiddle with shit. Now you don't.
You'd have to jump into the wood chipper?
Yep. It won't kill the player, thankfully. Just don't try that in real life,
folks.
That
would be great if it was M-rated Lumberjack Simulator. You just jump in the wood chipper.
Oh my god, that'd be amazing. They also added a box truck that can hold 4,500 wood chips in it.
Jeez.
And it's one of the few vehicles that will actually carry the medium-sized wood chipper because it can't be attached.
Do you mean like pounds of wood chips?
Yes.
Or just... Okay, because yes. I'm just like, I'm imagining like 4,500 like
individual wood,
and
chips.
I'm just like, that doesn't sound like a lot. Like, I'm pretty sure like you could fit all that in a Civic.
Like, oh yeah, that'd easily fit in the back of the normal pickup truck. However, this has come at a cost. For some reason, you can no longer just rubber band your controller and just drive in circles to get stuff towards that very long drive 1,000 kilometers achievement.
Say it isn't so.
Yeah, the dev doesn't understand why that's happening. They thought originally it was because they screwed up and accidentally got rid of the graphics settings from the game somehow. But they put that back in there and it still isn't working. So, so you actually have to drive from now on.
Oh,
That's it. That's all the news.
It's a good update. It sounds like they're. It sounds like he's listening to feedback and working on what people want. So that's cool to hear. Jacob, any news on your end?
Nah, I got nothing about Sonic the Hedgehog 2 or 3 to report.
Actually, I got some Sonic news.
Let's hear it.
So apparently, I don't know the name of the developer, but I could always send the link later or something. Someone took Sonic Triple Trouble and converted it into like a full-on, like upscaled game that plays more akin to Sonic 3.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And I want it because I that's like the only one that had Knack the Weasel.
Knack the Weasel.
And unlike
others, sounds really dirty.
And unlike certain other, you know, video game companies, I'm pretty sure Sega isn't going to, like, you know, copyright strike it into oblivion.
And there's so many great Sonic fan games out there that they actually let stay there because they're not shitheads.
And Sonic EXE.
Oh, man. All right. So anyone else have any other news to discuss, or are we done with news?
I just wanted to shout out Mario Kart 8 for releasing some new tracks.
What are all the new tracks?
You know, that's a good question, and since I'm playing the game, I might as well tell you.
Wait. If it's a list, let Jacob read it.
Oh, well, Jacob can't see my screen.
You can say it's a game, the track, and then Jacob can just repeat it.
There you go.
Okay, so
I'd rather hear Brooke.
So it'll take twice as long to read a list.
Just copy the list and send it to Brooke.
I will write the list out in chat one at a time. And
all right, no, we're not going to have Brooke read it because then Akash is going to jerk off to it.
Like, Jacob, like Chris, dictate the list.
Okay, so we now have, I believe these are the newest ones, the Turnip Cup and the Propeller Cup.
Turnip Cup and Propeller Cup?
Yes.
Turnip Cup and Propeller Cup.
In the Turnip Cup, we've got New York Minute.
New York Minute. Yep.
Mario Circuit 3 from the Super Nintendo game.
Mario Circuit 3 from the Super Nintendo game.
Nice.
You didn't fucking repeat it. What the fuck?
I will leave.
I'm just confirming what you were saying. I wasn't specifically repeating.
Yeah, but now I'm going to start repeating them shit. That's a bet.
And we got Calamari Desert from the N64 game.
Calamari Desert.
From the N64 game.
Oh, sorry, from the N64 game.
Yeah.
Exactly. And Waluigi Pinball from the DS game.
My very first anime, my very first cartoon husband, Waluigi.
Nice.
Wow.
In the Propeller Cup, we have Sydney Sprint, which I believe is a new original one.
Sydney Sprint came from Tor. Hen? So that one was from the, apparently there was like that Mario Kart Tour
iOS game.
Yeah, you're right. It does say Tour right here. I just didn't know what that. So yeah, also New York Minute is from Tour. We got Snowland from Mario Kart Advance. We got Mushroom Gorge from Mario Kart Wii.
Oh, that's a good one.
I like that track a lot.
Mushroom Gorge.
You missed the last one. The joke's over. Go away.
No.
That's okay. The joke can be over. It's all right.
Purnell was the assist.
We got Sky High Sunday, which is a brand new one.
Yeah, that's a new
one. Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying that.
It absolutely looks like a Fall Guys like level. Like, no joke.
I have a question for you people. How the hell do you know what fucking games these places came from?
They're iconic.
It's written right there.
Yeah, no, I mean, some of them have been corrected, and I don't understand how any of you know that stuff off the top of your fucking...
Mario Kart games come out every few years, and we all play them when they do come out. Sometimes
and
we
they're remember iconic. Them.
Yeah, you fucking nerd.
I mean, that's... Whatever.
I'm the nerd?
Yeah, fuck you! Yeah, Aki's the nerd. Not you, Chris. No, you're fine.
Y'all are.
Dorks.
Yep. All right, so I guess that is it for the news. We're gonna have to move on with the show. Chris, Purnell, Brooke, it was awesome having y'all on, but we are going to have
to. Wait, they're not reviewing shit?
No, they have nothing to review.
Brooke can stay.
Wait, they hung out for fun?
Yeah,
just for fun.
Apparently,
Brooke can stay. I'm fine with that.
Weird.
Please don't tell Aki and Jacob this, but we like them.
Well, I know you like me, but I don't know about the rest of these fuckers.
The books, though. Tuesday rules, Thursday drools.
That is true.
That is it is true. We do drool.
Gonna have to peace out on that one.
We do drool.
I mean, Brooke, you're more than welcome to stay. I'm
God.
Aki, we heard you say that 20 times now.
Dear Lord, I mean, man.
Can't say it enough.
Brooke, for Christmas, just give her a pin-up.
You can. You can, actually.
Shut her up. Like, here you go. Merry Christmas.
This is probably a good time for me to leave, but this was fun. Aww. Let's do this again for 900.
Here, here.
Oh, 900.
Next time.
Episode 1600.
I can't wait for episode 6969.
This is reporting live from the old folks' home. This is the SML podcast. Where are my dentures?
If I get to 7,000 episodes, I'm going to quit. I won't make it that far. 7,000, Jesus.
Gotta quit at 69,420. So just shy of 70,000.
There you go.
Well, hold on. Let's make it easier on Joe. He has to quit at 420.69.
Oh, if you insist. There.
Make it easier on him.
Okay, that's helpful.
What? It's 20,000 less. You're welcome. You're fucking welcome, Joe.
You're going to be thankful for that, you know, right around that 40,000 episode mark.
Actually, my math is off. It's 200,000 less. That's even more. That's like a full 100%. Or wait, no.
Wait, no. No, you're... No.
No, it's not 200,000. Where are you getting...
69,420 minus 420. Wait, yeah,
he got out 69.
That's five digits. Five digits. Yep, that was 20,000. I was right the first time.
He got out his calculator for this one, but then he just spelled the word boobs.
Boobies. Did you guys see some kid at like a state fair crafted together a calculator and put boobies on the numbers, and he ended up getting like first place?
That's excellent.
No, please give us a link.
Wait, what?
I'll have to see if I could find it on Reddit, but some kids.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, kids are great. So yeah, we're going to have to let everyone get going. We have reviews we got to take care of. Brooke, any final words?
From Jose Canseco, happy Mother's Day. And I told you Alex and J-Lo would not make it because Alex is a mother. just a tweet from Jose Canseco to let you know. Good evening.
I literally knew exactly what you were talking about as soon as you said it.
I didn't have anything prepared, but I was looking at his Twitter, so I just looked down and I happened to get a good one, so thank God I did not have that plan.
That's content.
I still have
quality.
No idea who the fuck this is.
Jose Canseco was a very famous baseball player back in the 1990s.
But most importantly,
first played for the Oakland A's, then moved over to the Texas Rangers, and you know, eventually went into kind of obscurity, except he also ratted everyone out who used steroids back in the day. But it's one of those things where Major League Baseball like kind of covers it up because steroids is essentially what saved him. But yeah.
Okay.
Shout out to Neospheric, who just dropped a sub and then just gifted two more subs. So Root Beer and Shih Tzu on you both got subs. So three subs for Neospheric. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good
it's
peoples.
A sandwich.
Fucking yeah.
Very good peoples. Very good peoples. Enjoys my lip balm.
So this isn't last final words or anything, but I mean, I guess it could be. I could just leave dramatically after saying this. But Purnell, I'm starting Super Metroid tomorrow on
Drop
the
it, bitch!
Snap means I might have to boot the damn game up now.
Dude, like, completely unrelated tangent. The Dragon Ball Super movie is going to be coming out on August 18th. Yo, shut up. It's going to be playing in IMAX in my area. And I'm just like, dude, I should get like fucking ripped, take an Uber and go see this in IMAX.
Did you just say get ripped? Doesn't show up.
Yeah.
Do pull a freaking like Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Get jacked in like a week.
No. Get ripped is it like get high.
He's confused because you're talking about Dragon Ball Z where they do get ripped instantly all the time.
Oh yeah, that exactly. Is true. Yeah, they do. Huh. Yeah, I guess we're gonna,
Joe, we're please gonna... kill me.
I can't. You have reviews to do.
Also, you're too
but
far
afterwards,
away.
Afterwards.
If I start doing the reviews, do you think we'll actually do them or no?
I don't know.
No.
And if also, you start we mine, 50, we will. We
50 minutes.
I'll
left
talk over them. I don't care.
Doesn't wrestling start at 10?
Chris, any final words on your end?
No, that was it.
Cool. Pernell, any final words on your end?
Shining Force 3 awaits, but I'm not going to get to it just yet.
Why not?
Because I got reviews, man. And hell pie. More hell pie. Always more hell pie.
Well, luckily, you don't have any reviews tonight.
No, I got
Jacob does.
Jacob, get it, boyo. Get it.
All right, let's get these started. First game to talk about tonight is Afterwave Downfall, developed by Seven Raven Studios, published by Total Console, released August 3rd on Xbox One, 4th on Switch, 5th on PS4 for $14.99. Afterwave Downfall is an arcade shooter where the player battles against monsters, completes various missions with a cool battleship. Deathrix invaded the world and released a mysterious meteorite causing a great flood. Players can upgrade their ships for better performance to fight the most brutal enemies. A local co-op mode allows the player to team up with an adventure with others. Jacob, tell us about your time with Afterwave Downfall.
So this is a third-person arcade action-adventure title. There is a story to it, and the game does try to explain it through a bunch of, like, multi-text slides through it. And you're really just sitting there like, oh my god, this is... No, like this, like it honestly could have been solved in like a 2 second animation. But instead they want you to read their little novel, beforehand. And then
we give a shout out to Burger Thing for dropping a Prime sub. Thank you so much.
So then when you initially start, you have three people you could choose from, and it's like, their differences are pretty much just how much HP they have, how powerful their weapons are at the start. And like what their special attack is. I generally go for like, you know, the middle one just because then, you know, I've got a nice little balance and stuff like that. She was armed with a flamethrower. But other ones have like laser blasts and stuff like that. So anyways, you're constantly on these, like, I mean, they call them ships, but they really just look like Ski-Doos with like a Gatling gun on the front. You just have to blast like wave after wave of monsters. It's almost like a 3D version of Space Invaders or Centipede, like one of those old kind of arcade games. But then you actually do have to think in three dimensions because some of the attacks will just be right there on the water level, but then other ones will be coming from overhead. And it's real easy in this game to get, you know, get damaged and eventually die because of it if you're not keeping track of where all those missiles and bombs and stuff like that are going to land in the water. Now, the game does have three levels of difficulty, easy, medium, and hard. And easy is, I mean, it's generally easy. And if you're an achievement hunter, you're going to notice real quick, like, you're racking up the achievements like it's nothing in this game. Yes. And the rest of them look fairly easy to get. But that being said, it's really just, you just got to keep track of your enemies, like where they're firing to and where your little ship is located. And the game shouldn't give you too much trouble. That being said, you need to finish all of your levels as they go through, because the game doesn't award you anything if you don't complete that level. And then there are upgrades that you can purchase, and with like all the little stars and coins that you collect throughout the game. It's just, you spend all your cash towards upgrades and you just go back and repeat levels over and over again, and just build up your ships. And eventually you can unlock new characters. Now, I didn't get to try out multiplayer, but there is a story and an arcade mode for it. And then there's also like a new plus version of it, so you know, after you've beaten it. But
how are the visuals and performance? Because I imagine something like
visuals,
this.
I mean, honestly, this looks like it could have been like an iPad game or something like that. I don't know if it actually was though. But it's relatively simple in terms of graphic stuff. It's an arcade shooter. It's not gonna tax your Xbox Series X at all. There's nothing fantastic about it. My main issues is that like it tries to give you a bunch of story, But it's also clear that English is not the game dev's first language. And so some of the stuff doesn't, like, it's not translated well. And it's just, I mean, I don't want to say it's cookie cutter, but it feels like the kind of like the same stuff you've played it all before. It's not that that's bad, but it just doesn't feel like it's really bringing anything new to the table. But honestly, it was fairly satisfying.
Well, it's $15. What are your thoughts on it?
I'd be more comfortable if it was like a $10 title. So, I mean, at 15, I'd recommend waiting for a sale. But I'd give it a generally enthusiastic try it.
Sounds good. Next game is Brightpaw Definitive Edition, developed by Radical Forge, published by Rogue Games, released July 28th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Switch for $12.99. Plays the brave young Theo, guided by his narrator as he chases after the murder of his owners, Nathaniel and Lauren. Explore the mysterious Brightpaw Industries, delving deep to reveal the secrets of its villainous dealings and the motivations behind the shadowy killer's actions. Jacob, what is going on in Brightpaw Definitive Edition?
So, this is an interesting little puzzle game, which, funnily enough, this is actually, like, the first of two cat-related puzzle games that I'm playing for this show currently. And with Brightpaw, so, as you've already said, you wake up to the narrator's voice, and you're moving this cat throughout the house, and you're uncovering, like, you know, oh my god, my owners are dead. But then also you're finding out that your owners were probably a little bit more than they seem as you go further into the house. Now it's, I guess I'd describe it as kind of like it's a puzzle game on one hand, but then it also kind of feels like a board game on another one, because your movements are dictated by cards. And the cards are, I mean, they're not randomly handed out. I mean, there's an obvious solution within, the general campaign, as you were to call it. And cards are replaced sometimes as you're playing through it. So, like, you'll have one card that makes kind of like a, like two steps forward, one to the left, and then one step forward, or it might just be two steps forward. You might also have a card that's just pause, something like that. And you have to use them to get from point A to point B in each room. Each room has its own, I mean, the game first explains, you know, how everything works, gets you used to its system. But then later levels have all sorts of traps. Laser traps, essentially. Like, you know, they'll just incinerate the kitten at first, like, you know, right off the bat. You know, there might also be robots that run right over the cat.
No!
Which the narrator then, like, yelps or goes, ah! Like, stuff like that during it. And then one of the nice things about this game is that when you die, you can, or even if you just fuck up with, like, a wrong move and you know in advance that this is not good, you can actually rewind one step back, or if you want to rewind just like the whole level and just restart it, you can do that. And so, you know, you're going to be dying a lot in this game. And thankfully, the campaign really is more guiding you by the hand. And I mean, it is challenging, but the thing is that it's also, the game is having you move through a very set path. And there are some DLC levels that were included, because this is the definitive edition. So, like, there's extra stuff included to make it, like, the complete game. And those levels, those are not as friendly as, you know, the main storyline. They're definitely more of a challenge, and you're definitely going to be dying a lot in this game. But at the same time, this story knows how to spin a pretty good yarn, and that paragraph that you read kind of ruins it, but your owners are more than what they seem, and it turns out that they've been experimenting with various weapons, and you find this out through various collectibles through just about every single room. There's like two or three, sometimes one, but a couple of collectibles in each one, and you just hover your cursor over it, and it'll give you part of the story. And that's how you uncover more of what's going on in the background. Now, as you get further down, it's very apparent that the makers of this game were big fans of various Valve titles. So there's plenty of fun Easter eggs for those looking for them. But all in all, I thought it was a pretty interesting puzzle game. It's, I don't want to say it's one of the more relaxing ones, but in terms of, you know, punishment, this one is actually like pretty fair. And wants you to work out the puzzle. Like it's not being a dick to be a dick.
No.
So
well, there's the store page says there's more than 70 levels in the game and more than 180 collectibles. So it'll keep you busy. Is it worth $13?
$13? honestly, I'm really surprised by that. For $13, yeah, it's totally worth it. To be honest, I would have expected this to be like a $20 title. And even then at that price, I would have been fine with. Well, there's 13, a lot of content in this game. Yeah, so even better. But there is a lot of content in this game, and it's fairly easy to pick up and get into. So I definitely recommend checking it out.
Cool. All right, let's keep the kitty talk going.
During the course and wrong tenure. Thing.
There we go. Kitty noise.
Kitty.
Thing a cat purring. Oh. The cat talk going with Roll the Cat, developed by Le Jeunesse Art, published by Rowlake Games, released August 5th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $4.99. Did you ever wake up in the middle of the night because you hear a cat meowing?
No.
Roll the Cat is cats. A game about that. Jacob, what is going on with Roll the Cat?
So in this game, you play as this woman who has at least two cats. You know, there might be more, but she keeps getting woken up every single night by these cats. And so it is your job to roll these two very large cats into their beds. But various things prevent that because you're not allowed in this house. You have a limited amount of space that you're able to move around in, and you can't move like any of the furniture. You can't step on any of the furniture. And so only the tiles that the game presents you with are able to use. And with this, as you're rolling the cats, you really have to be planning like five steps ahead of like how everything is going to work. Because if you end up accidentally backing a cat into the corner, it's not like you could just pull it and like, you know, toss it into the bed. And so you end up having to restart the level. And so this game kind of drove my kids nuts because they wanted to play, but then couldn't get any of the cats into the thing, into their little beds. But then they'd watch me play and then realize that, this is boring as hell. Cause dad's taking like a minute to like plan out all of his steps instead of just fucking around in the game. And so they got annoyed with that. So I'm just going to warn you right now, there's nothing objectionable for kids in this game. But kids generally don't have the patience for this game. But yeah, so honestly, I found it to be a pretty calming puzzle because really all it is, or puzzle game, because all it really is you know, you just move two rotund cats into their beds and you just have to plan out all your steps. Like, it's cute pixelated art. Like, it's nothing amazing, but at the same time, like, it's pretty chill. And you know, again, if you're an achievement hunter, there's achievements aplenty and they come rolling in quick because it is a Rattalaika title. yeah, I mean, it's just honestly, it was a puzzle game that I really dug. It's not game like in my opinion, it's not going to be like game of the year on most people's lists, but it's a pretty satisfying puzzle title. That's so if you like cats, you like puzzles say? For $5. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely buy it.
Cool. All right. You got one more game to talk about. That is called Beat Stickman Beyond, developed and published by Mini Fun Games. It is available on Xbox One and Series X and S for $9.99. Join a fictional network that expands across the multiverse where your main goal is to beat as many instances of the Stickman as you can. Jacob, what is Beat Stickman Beyond?
So this is essentially a clicker game, and there are these Stickmen that you have to use like your little mouse thing and just fire like lasers. I don't know what they are. Lasers, missiles, or whatever. And you build up energy and you collect credits and coins and like, I don't know if they're like experience points or whatever, but essentially all this stuff gets used to upgrade not only your little clicker guy, but also like the level around you. So so pretty quickly, once you get to like level, I think it's like a level 2 or something like that, you can then add spikes, which then create additional damage for the stick man. So whenever they're bouncing around the like little, I don't even know what to call it, the room. I don't know. Like, this game's kind of weird because it's definitely like one of those games that it tries to very much have a backstory that, I mean, to be honest, I found the backstory of it interesting because there's all these messages and emails that you can peruse and it pops up and stuff like that. And it tries to like get you to do stuff. But the problem is with this game and plenty of other clicker games is that it's just progression is just so damn slow in this game. And on top of it, you're having to do everything on a controller and like having to like, you know, hit your controller buttons a million times. It unfortunately gets old pretty damn quick. And like, I destroyed a bunch of these beat stick guys or these stick men. Like I destroyed a bunch of them and it's just like, apparently there's more to like variations of them, but it's just like, I have yet to see them. And like, I've been upgrading my like little, my clicker finger thing. Like I've been updating, the wall stuff. And it's just like, there's a lot more to this game, but there's just like, everything just comes at it too slow. And I just found it to be like a very frustrating experience because I like the idea behind it. There's plenty of like weird secrets in there. Like if you're watching, like if you're paying attention to the game's background, you notice that there's QR codes constantly flashing. And, if you scan all the QR codes, they eventually like reveal like a huge giant sentence.
I know there's the also player. Like a mobile app to help with the game on your phone, something like that.
Yeah, I haven't, I didn't get that, for it. So, I mean, maybe that was supposed to help it, but I
just going off what the store page says. So.
Yeah. I honestly, I was a little surprised by this because like, I can't remember the last time that I've played a game on the Xbox that didn't have achievements. Like, it's got to be back in, you know, original Xbox. And so, like, here I am also playing it, and it's like, achievements are not supported in this game. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I wonder if it's and a creator like, collection title.
I don't know. Because, I mean, apparently there's achievements for it on Steam, so I don't know if they'll, like, maybe they'll eventually launch on Xbox. I don't know. But it's just like, I'm not going to lie, like, I wanted to like this game. Because of like all the lore that it's obviously setting up, but it's just progression was just too damn slow. And I'm not going to lie, for $9.99, like this, is, you know, for $9.99 at a time where I play for achievements a lot of the time. I don't know. I just like, it's stuff like this gets left in the dust for me. You know, I don't play older games that much anymore, mostly because I'm reviewing stuff like this. And it's just like, it felt weird going back to this like retro time. You know what I mean?
With no achievements, gasp.
Yeah, I know. I'm wondering like,
if the game is going to be updated to a full Xbox ID at Xbox title, because when I saw the game listed for review, it mentioned it an October release date. Which I was, you know, I thought we were getting a game just super early. And then I talked to the dev. He said, no, it's been out since, you know, last year. And I right. was kind of confused. I wasn't too, like, I don't know if this game is getting an update where it's going to get achievements on Xbox or if it's just releasing on another platform in October. I'm honestly not too sure what the story is. But as it stands at $10, I need a verdict.
As it stands right now, for $10, this is not a game I would spend $10 on. Like, the lore is interesting and you can tell it's going somewhere, but the game's progression hampers it like real bad. Yeah. And on top of it, like, without any, like, achievements to go along with it, I'm just like, this is a $10 game that's taking forever. Like, why? Like, if it gets, like, a huge update, I'll definitely return to it. But as it stands, I'm not, like, this isn't a game I'm going to be returning to. And so it's just, in its current state, I don't want to recommend it.
All right. Well, that's it for you, Jacob. Get the fuck on out of here.
Gladly.
Bye. Do you have any final words for the 800 episode?
I mean, Farfignugan as usual. Yeah, I don't know.
Nothing.
Aki and Joe suck. Yeah.
I don't know. Not as much. Always.
Yeah. Yeah. All that's right. A given. All right. Love you, hon.
Next game to talk about is Sniper Elite 5 Landing Force DLC, developed and published by Rebellion, released July 26th for Sniper Elite 5 for $14.99, also available in the Season Pass for $34.99. Deployed to the south of France, where enemy forces have commandeered an island to house a gargantuous gun battery. The vast island is a hive of Nazi activity and features docks, lighthouse, and a ruined keep, as well as a huge gun emplacement which must be destroyed in order to help the Allied landing force liberate southern France. Aki, what is going on in the landing force DLC?
Okay, so You guys already know what Sniper Elite is. It's kick-ass, you shoot people in the nuts, and you see their nuts explode in X-ray vision. It's fantastic. Enjoy.
I'm so glad that the very first sentence of your review mentions exploding testicles.
One of the best things about this game to me is playing.
You're welcome, Rebellion. Thank you for letting us review this.
Hey, I mean, realistically, they put it in. They did. The
they celebrate it. They celebrate the exploding exactly. Testicles.
Like they had posts all about it on their Twitter. So you know,
hey, well, go balls out thing. On this review and tell us about it.
Yeah. So this is just like generally any other level of this. Thankfully, it's the one of the great things about this is that all the DLC is just extra levels to this. There's, you know, it's just be stealthy or shoot the shit out of everybody, whichever pathway you really want to take. It's all good. Except for, you know, if you're playing on harder difficulties, you're going to die pretty quick if you, you know, all shooty, shooty, bang, bang. So I always suggest stealth. And you're just dealing with Nazis in a remote little island location. And yeah, all of them are pretty laid back, which was kind of surprising. This is a go nowhere type location, so none of the Nazis are particularly like up in arms and ready for anything. They're all really laid back, and it's great. You just, you know, you do what the mission tells you to do, and you complete it. Sadly, there is only one mission for this. It'll take you maybe 20-ish minutes. It has some new collectibles, and again, they're the same types of collectibles. You have, you know, stuff that tells you a little bit of the background, gives you more information on some of the Nazis there and all that fun stuff. And there's also a few, Stone Eagle locations, which are things you have to shoot. And they're really easy to find in this chapter, which is great, because usually they're not easy. It also gives you two new weapons. There's a new sniper rifle and a new SMG. Neither of them are particularly great. Sadly, they're about middle tier maybe. So, you know, if you have this and the season pass and the main game and you haven't started the main game, they're probably decent ones to start off with. But once, if you've already beaten the main game and you've gotten all the upgrades and stuff, these aren't particularly good anymore at that point. You know, just like upgrading everything else, you know, you have to upgrade these ones to get all the different things to attach to them. Thankfully, there's only two areas you have to find in this, and I think one person you have to kill in a special way in order to get all of the upgrades, because thankfully most of their upgrades are main game upgrades, so you start off with them if you've beaten the main game and gotten all the upgrades for the other weapons, so yay. And yeah, it is just a nice little fun extra singular short mission.
Well, it's $15. Is it worth dropping the $15 for this, or is it worth waiting and seeing if the season pass is worth it?
For $15, I wouldn't buy this as a standalone. I would wait to see what else the season pass brings. I have a feeling by the time the season pass is over, the season pass price will be worth it. But each individual one, I'm not sure if they'll be worth it. I know $15 for this is a bit much.
I'm looking at the season pass for $35. It is going to include 6 weapon packs, 2 weapon skin packs, 2 character skin packs, Target Fuhrer, Wolf Mountain, and then the 2 campaign missions. So you got this one, and then we're going to see one more come out, which seems a little light.
Yeah, and I don't think you're saving anything with the season pass either. No, you're saving a couple bucks, I think. You're not saving
the
much.
Weapon packs and skins are going to end up adding up, I'm sure.
I guess that's true.
But yeah, 20 minutes. It sounds like a short one.
Yeah, it was surprisingly short. I was expecting it to be like an hour or so.
Any replayability at least?
Not really. In my opinion, there's not a lot of replayability in Sniper Elite just in general. Because once you know where the enemies are, they're there. They're always there. They don't really change anything. You know, if this guy is standing guard here, guess what? Every time you play the game, that guy's going to be standing guard there. The only DLC that ever changes that formula really is the killing Hitler missions. Those are the only ones where that changes, because you always have to go in there and kill him different ways for achievements.
Yeah.
But, you know, even then, it's still basically the same thing. You're still shooting him, and you're just deciding, oh, do I shoot him in the head, or do I blow his nuts out?
Yeah, it's always about the nuts.
Well, I will also point out, if you have the Wolf Mountain or whatever it was DLC, the Hitler mission, there is an achievement for killing him with a nut shot.
Nice.
Just saying. Yeah.
Well, speaking of the NSFW stuff, it is time for SML After Dark. George, take it away.
SML After Dark.
Final game to talk about tonight is Lust Epidemic, developed and published by NLT Media. It is available on Steam for $9.99. A student of East State University named Brad finds himself stranded at rival college St. Dame University during a hurricane that has unexpectedly changed course and struck the town. While exploring the ancient and creepy campus grounds, you'll uncover many mysteries and secrets, as well as some sexy fun. Aki, what's going on in Lust Epidemic?
Okay, you play as Brad. He's kind of a dipshit, realistically speaking.
His name's Brad. He sounds like an asshole.
He's not, well, he kind of is, kind of is.
Fucking Brad.
He's not quite your stereotypical jock, but he's pretty close to getting there.
I'm not sharing the store page, folks. You're gonna have
We find can't the store share
page
that.
On
that
your
is,
own.
This is straight up a porn game, so yeah. and you know, your school is in a massive scandal right now, and you're going to this other school to meet with the head of it, as the reporter and a private investigator, all of whom seem to be working together to try and take down your school. So, you know, some of the teachers have met there for that, and one of those is your mother-in-law. And so you went there because you needed a ride home, and instead of just being driven home, you're driven there so someone can drive you home from there. Because that all makes sense. and then shit goes bad. The hurricane floods all the roads and the bridges and stuff, because you're on apparently a tiny little island that's part of this campus that's pretty much just a seminary building. And everywhere gets flooded out, so you can't get out of there. So yay, you're stuck there. Thankfully, you're stuck with your incredibly hot mother-in-law. You're stuck with, I don't know if you would call him a friend. His name's Simon. He's the one who drove you there. He's the son of one of the other ladies. He's, what's a nice word? He's mentally challenged. And it looks like he's been hit in the face with a shovel a few times. So, yeah. And then there's also the reporter lady that's there. There's the guy who runs the school, the guy who's the PI, and there's a really sexy nun. And I mean really sexy nun. Whoo, boy.
Okay. Yeah.
And you're just trying to pass the time and trying to figure out what dirt that your rival school, the guy who runs it, has on everyone else. Trying to figure out what's going on, because you don't actually know anything. In your mind, all of this bad publicity is just bullshit. It's not, but your character's like, oh, it's clearly bullshit. I mean, come on now. So you're sent out to go figure out what the hell they have on the school. And you end up getting pulled into some intrigue that involves a lot of drugs and sex. So, yeah. And obviously, because I specified the four women, you can obviously sleep with all four of them. And you're expected to sleep with all four of them. It's great. This has two different modes, an easy mode and a hard mode. The only difference between them is that on the hard mode, you have to collect these heart canisters that you give to each of the ladies, which allows you to increase how much they're able to love you. And there's six of them in total for each lady. So each one of them starts with a different amount. I don't remember exactly how many there are. But so you have to end up collecting a lot of them. Whereas in normal, you don't have canisters you have to pick up. They just naturally allow you to go up to six for all of them without finding them. But other than that, this is a point-and-click adventure game. You go around. You figure out how to get into different rooms and stuff, because every room is locked with a key card, even though this is a school building and they're classrooms. They are key carded. There is massive security in this fucking building for reasons I don't comprehend, even after playing it. It seems a little ridiculous. And, thankfully, these aren't like Monkey Island type difficult. These are all straightforward. I need a key card to get into this classroom. I need to find a fucking key card. Yeah. Very simple. So, that's generally how all of them are. You need an extension cord to plug something in. You got to find a fucking extension cord. It's very simple. It's very nice. I like ones like this. And yeah, this game, I think I did it in two sittings, 2 days. Which may not sound like a lot to any of you, but that was almost 21 hours for me. That's how long it took me. And that was with a guide to help me. So if you're, if you're playing this without a guide, it's going to take a while. But the hearts that you get for all the ladies, after X amount of them, you unlock a new outfit that you can give them during the sexy fun times. And obviously there's a viewer so you can see all the different sex scenes that you've unlocked and stuff. And yeah, I thought it was really well done. I like many of the characters. And if you're really into MILFs and GILFs, this is totally for you.
Well,
because all these ladies are mature.
Well, it's $10. What do you say?
Hell yes. I am so totally for this.
Yay. Made it through another episode. That is it. We're done.
Woohoo!
Excited?
I guess.
800 episodes. Big thanks to you and Jacob for being here, doing your thing. Big thanks to Pernell, Chris, and Brooke for coming on and hanging out with us tonight. Big thanks to George for his intros, Stemage for the music, Tim for coming on, doing his thing when he can. Everyone who has come on and done reviews for us over the years or co-hosted over the years, too many people to thank, but It's been a trip, and we're going to keep chugging along and doing this shit. Music this episode. Chris, his band Super High Tops, just put out a new song, Sonic 321 Medley. We are going to play that. Aki, do you have any final words to end the show?
I've been here for 500 fucking episodes. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, you have.
Just, it doesn't seem like it's been that long. Really doesn't. I don't have any words. I'm just going to be mellow and happy. I'm not even going to cuss out Jacob this time.
You should. Celebrated, yeah, that fucking asshole.